You may be seated, and if you would, please turn with me in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. If you're reading in the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 839. And God's Word says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay here, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they are confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law was made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels and ungodly and sinful and unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers, for perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that confirms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God that he entrusts to me. Very powerful word at the end that says that he entrusts to me, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us about his word this morning.
Am I the only one in the congregation that was not aware of that? Now, being totally honest, how many of you remember this was a fifth Sunday? Okay, I'm not alone. Thank you for being that kind to me to let me know that. Thank you, Taylor, for sharing your gift and your talent with us today. That is truly a blessing for my heart. This morning, I wonder if you'd please take your Bibles once again, open up to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning on the goal of teaching. You know, there's an awful lot that is being taught, an awful lot of teachers that are going around, and they're really not teaching the truth of Scripture and all that is contained therein. I see these guys on TV that are the health wealth guys, you know, and somehow God is the giant Santa Claus in the sky that you just pull the lever and boom, he's got to meet your whim. When in reality, sometimes suffering takes place in this world. And sometimes that suffering is for the glory of God. And how people respond to suffering determines many times how high they're going to rise in their spiritual journeys. There are also those who are teaching for their own glory and trying to do anything that they can to just kind of point towards themselves, and that is not of the Lord either. And so it becomes important that we understand that there are certain goals. As a parent, when you are raising your children, you have goals that you want to accomplish. Now, too often in our society today, that goal is to be able to raise our kids so that they can make the most money that they can make, so that they can be, you know, the biggest shot that they can be, you know, being a big shot and that kind of thing, when that may not be God's goal for them at all. A Christian parent's true goal should be to raise a child in the Lord. so that that child has an opportunity for eternal life when this world's done. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, when we come down to those final breaths and those final minutes, it's not going to matter how much money's in the bank. It's not going to matter how loud the applause was. It's not going to matter how many people we had under our authority. When we come down to those final moments, it's going to be, how did we live for Jesus Christ? And that's going to be what it's all about. And so it's important for us every once in a while to step back and take a look at some things. I want to share with you this morning, not a lot of stuff, but out of this passage of Scripture that Pastor Homer so beautifully read, I want to share with you out of verses 5, 6, and 7. Notice what Paul writes here. He says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitful discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." So we're going to look at these particular verses, and we're going to see what types of things happen when verse 7 becomes the focal point of our lives. And I want to share with you, first of all, this morning, that if we are to have a proper goal in teaching, that it should always be that it comes from the love of a pure heart. In other words, it needs to be loving with the right motives. Loving with the right motives. That's what love from a pure heart is. And you'll notice in that fifth verse, as Paul is writing to the young preacher, he says this. He says, "But the goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart." Now, what does it mean? But it means that our heart is so focused upon God and has been purified and cleansed by Him that whenever we endeavor to teach, our teaching should be focused and filtered through the love of God. Not every teacher. In fact, I would go so far as to say not any teacher ever gets it right 100% of the time. Now, you may sit there and think, well, if I was a teacher, I'd get it 100% right 100% of the time. And I'll tell you what, you're sadly mistaken. Not everybody does. But you know, when we are teaching from the motive of a pure heart, that means that our motive is going to be to see people grow in faith and become children of God who are effective in this world for Jesus Christ. And that should be a goal, and that should be our intention of at all times, to have the type of motives that build the kingdom of God, not build ourselves or our self-esteem. We have in this church a lot of teachers who teach children from this size to children this size, who teach children from the age of 0 to the age of 100. I don't think there's anybody older than that here. But you see, in the eyes of God, we are all children. And so our focus should always be, no matter what age someone is, what their station in life is, what their circumstances are, what their situation is, our goal should always be to teach them with the proper motives. And that is to teach them with all teaching that's been filtered through the love of God for the purpose of building them up in the faith. Building them up in the faith. Not building ourselves. Building them up in the faith. Not to hear the applause, building them up in the faith. And that should be a primary focus. And that only happens as we have a heart that is totally and completely focused on Jesus Christ. And so as Paul is writing to the young Timothy, because he knows that Timothy is going to be entrusted with the Word of God, and you can read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, but he's going to be entrusted to teach the Word of God effectively, because that's what God wants from all teachers, to teach His Word effectively. And that can only happen when it's done from a pure heart with proper motives. Secondly, I want you to notice that Paul goes on and he says, look, he says, I want you to teach, our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. In other words, it's loving with the right knowledge. That's what a good conscience is. A good conscience is loving with the right knowledge. I am more and more concerned with direction that we're seeing the modern day church go in. The modern day church is focusing on, let's forget Christianity as it's been done in the past, because it's irrelevant. And let's just focus on the love. We don't need the church history stuff. We don't need the history of the theology, the creeds. We don't need any of that stuff. We just need the love. Well, folks, that's going to mess up the body of Christ. You will notice over and over in the Word of God that we are told to preach the truths of God about Him. We are told to preach and teach the creeds, if you will. Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's talking with the disciples, and he says, boys, he said, I'm going to tell you, everything that you have heard and seen in me, do these things and teach others also. So we need to understand that we need to teach what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that His Father is the creator of the universe. That His Father has always existed and always will be. That Jesus Christ is one with the Father. And that the Holy Spirit is in total unity with the Father and the Son, and that His job is to confirm the truths of everything that Jesus taught to the hearts and lives of people. You see, we have to keep the knowledge of who God is first and foremost and central in our lives. We can't just throw that stuff away. You look at much of the modern day church and you talk about the omnipotence of God and they're going, what? What do you mean, the omnipotence of God? The omnipotence of God is the fact that God is all powerful. And just by speaking, universes are created, and just by the declaration of his mouth, universes are destroyed. He is all powerful. You talk to people about the omniscience of God, and they're going, what do you mean? What do you mean? The omniscience of God is that God is all-knowing, that he knows all things, that he sees all things, that he knows our hearts. He knows absolutely everything that there is to know. God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of this universe. God is also the God of all grace and all love. And the fact that he wants to pour out his grace of forgiveness upon mankind to anyone who will come to him in faith and will trust him and will believe him for salvation, God willingly pours out that love and forgiveness for mankind. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you, and he wants you to know that. And he wants to issue to you forgiveness and grace and compassion. As Paul is writing to Timothy, he is trying to point out to him, look, you need to love from a good conscience. Make certain that your teaching has not violated your knowledge of God, but instead that you teach knowing what you're teaching. I quite often try to avoid controversial descriptions of the end times. Because I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, I can read the Word of God and I cannot declare when Jesus Christ is coming back. I can't. If that disappoints you, I'm sorry about that. But I can't declare when Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't have the December 21st mentality that some seem to have. I don't believe the Word of God declares that at all. In fact, Jesus Christ even came out and he said, look, I don't know. Only my Father knows. The angels don't know. Only my Father knows. Because the disciples had come to him, look, is this the time when you're going to reestablish the kingdom? This is after the resurrection, after Jesus has revealed himself to them. And they said, look, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? Jesus says, I don't know when it's going to happen. My Father knows, but I don't. And it always kind of tickles me, these people that know when Jesus Christ is coming back, because they're actually asserting they know more than God. Because Jesus is God. And when people assert that kind of knowledge, they're saying, man, I know more than God. And I'm going to tell you, arguing about when the return of Christ is going to happen isn't worth it. It's going to happen when God declares it. And that's the way it's going to be. So there's no sense in arguing about it. There's no sense in fighting about it. And yet through the centuries, churches have split over whether Jesus was going to come back before the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, end of the tribulation. We can all have our speculation about the tribulation and where that ties into the return of Jesus Christ. Because any one of those particular positions, you can find some scripture that's going to support it. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is going to return when the Father turns to the Son and says, it's time. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Son will leap from the throne. He'll grab a hold of Gabriel and he'll say, blow that horn, man. Let's go get him. When God declares, that will happen. And you see, this is what was happening in the early church. Look at how this goes. Look at beginning at verse 7. We're going to read through here. Verse 6, let's start there. He says, for some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. It's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't think you can make that confident an assertion. It's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture. I don't think you can be that confident in that. There isn't such a thing as a tribulation period or a thousand-year reign of Christ. I don't think you can make that kind of an assertion. It's going to happen the way that God wants it to happen. But you see, that's what the apostle is talking about. Look, some people get so single-focused and so single-eyed about things that they really don't understand that they literally drive in that side of the street. Which, by the way, some of you know, this past week I was driving on the wrong side of the street and got in an accident. That wasn't real bright, was it? That happens. But you see, notice what he says here. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law even though they don't understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And he is inferring to Timothy, you are entrusted with teaching the truth. You better stick to it. Don't go off on these silly discussions. Don't go off on these things. There are the thus saith the Lord's. You pronounce them. You stick close to the Word of God. You're being trusted with the truth. Don't bother with this whole idea of genealogies. Don't bother in arguing about the different theories of the return of Christ. Don't get caught up in that stuff. But the things that you can declare with a clean conscience, with a good conscience, that you can love with, that you can pronounce through love with right knowledge, those are the things that you want to declare. And folks, the church is getting away from that. The modern day church is going away from the simple, basic doctrines of faith. And I'm going to tell you, it's because most of the time, the people standing behind the pulpits don't understand the simple truths of the Word of God. And I speak that to their shame, not to their glory. Love with the right knowledge, if you will, have a good conscience. And the third thing he says here is we need to love from a sincere faith. That is loving with the right knowledge. Belief. Loving with the right belief. There are some absolute essentials if we are to have life in Christ. The Word of God declares them definitively. There isn't any There isn't any argument about it. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, child comes unto the Father but through me. All right? There's no other way. You can't sing your way into the kingdom of God. Doesn't work that way. You can't shovel snow your way into the kingdom of God to keep the sidewalk open. Doesn't work that way. You can't get in because your parents were believers. Doesn't work that way. You can't get in because you do volunteer work at the hospital. Doesn't work that way. You can't get in because you ride around in an ambulance and help people when they're going through difficult times. Doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ said, no man comes unto the Father but through me. You must go by the way of Jesus Christ. And that must be by faith in Him. What is faith in Him? Number one, believe that Jesus Christ is God. Number two, believe that because He is God, He willfully sacrificed His own life that we could have an opportunity to have eternal life. Number three, we must acknowledge that we have sinned and those sins have hurt God and be sorry enough for those that we repent of those sins. Repent means to turn our back on them and quit doing them. All right, that's what repent means. It's very simple. It's very basic. Repent. The gospel of repentance through faith in Christ was the very core essence of the teachings of Jesus. People connect with the miracles. Well, it must be about miracles. If you're really a follower, you're going to be able to do miracles. That's not what Jesus said. We are to keep focused, keep our faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. We must believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that He took on the penalty of our sins in order that we might have the opportunity for life. You see, those are the essentials. And when we ask for God's forgiveness and invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives, we must believe that He responds to that kind of faith. That's the right faith. And there's no other way to have eternal life. So if you think that you can climb up because of a certain church that you go to or a certain one you don't, that's not going to do it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You must go through Him. You can't go through the saints. You can't go through your parents. You can't go through your spouse. Your kids can't. You can't go through your kids. You must go through Jesus Christ, for He is the only one that can give you eternal life. You know, a lot of churches are departing from that. And they're saying, man, we can just do the good stuff. You'll notice in this particular passage that the Apostle Paul brings up, and it's unfortunate for those translations that don't, but the Apostle Paul brings up here the issue of homosexuality. In verse 10, he says, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. He said, man, these guys, they're just going to teach that stuff. And we're seeing that happen all over the modern day church. As if somehow God has changed His mind. And what used to be sin is no longer sin. But the reality is, God hasn't changed His mind. Sin is still sin. And it doesn't matter who commits it. Sin, in the eyes of God, is sin. Doesn't matter how popular you are. Doesn't matter what type of volunteer work you have done. If you sin, you die spiritually. It is that simple. And Paul is letting Timothy know, look, if you love the people that you minister to, you'll tell them the truth. You won't tell them what they want to hear. You'll tell them the truth. And they may not like it, but you'll tell them the truth because you want to have a good conscience. You want to have a clear heart. And if you love them, you'll tell them. And folks, I'm here to tell you today that there is a place of eternal torment and eternal suffering for those who do not go through Jesus Christ. Those who do not remain faithful in Him, there is a certain fiery end. Although they never die, they'll suffer for always. If you're here today and you're a teacher in this church, you teach the truth. Don't teach your opinions, teach the truth. Because it's vital. Paul continues on to let us know that love is also that which stays away from the spoilers. Or in other words, loving with the right boundaries. What does he say are those things? A straying heart. You'll notice what he says in verse 6. For some men straying from these things. They have a heart that's just, I'm going to be in control, God, and I don't care who you are or what you say. I'm going to be in control of my life. I'm going to teach what I want. I'm going to preach what I want. I'm not going to listen to you. They have a straying heart. These are the ones that are identified by the fact that they say, you know what, if a person's a homosexual, not a big deal. Sure, we'll put them in our pulpits. That's blasphemous. And that is straying away from the true elementary principles of the Word of God. Love stays away from the spoilers. Love stays away from the idle talk. As he continues here, he said, look, they've turned aside to fruitless discussions. Idle talk. Fruitless discussions. Those things that divide. Those things that create issues within the body of Christ. There are too many that enter into that kind of thing with teaching and with preaching. And folks, teach and preach the Word of God. Stick close to the truth. And there is no shame in saying, you know what? I don't know. I will stand here before you with no shame and say, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. When He comes, He comes. But that's not going to shake my faith. I know that He is coming because He has declared that He will. That I can declare with certainty. Jesus Christ is coming back. When that's going to happen, I have no idea. But I don't need to know. God will let me know on an as-needed basis. Same way with you. So we ought to stick close to what we can declare definitively and stay away from the idle talk. And then Paul also talks about talking but not doing, or if you will, desiring to teach what they don't understand nor can they affirm. And we're seeing that all over in the modern day church. You hear it on your radios all the time. Be careful of who you listen to on your radios, who you watch on your television sets. If your spirit does not ring true with their spirit, that's because God is speaking to you and saying, you know what, you better pay attention here. This isn't quite right. But don't you understand, God, they've got a TV ministry. Because they've got a TV ministry, they know so much, obviously, or they wouldn't be allowed to be on TV. Well, I wish someone would tell the politicians that. If you don't speak the truth all the time, you can't be on TV. That'd be great for this campaign season. We wouldn't have to watch one commercial. That probably wasn't good to say, was it? But you know, within the body of Christ, it's not the way it should be. We should speak the truth continually. And you know what? Every once in a while, when we speak the truth, we have to confront the issues. And when we confront the issues, that doesn't make us popular. So we are faced with a question. Popularity or integrity? Which do I take? I take integrity. And if that means speaking the truth in love and offending someone, I guess they're just going to have to be offended. And that happens. We'd better stand up for the truth. So Paul looks at this young pastor and he's saying there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to try to pull you away from your focus of the goal of teaching the truth. Don't you get sidetracked. But instead, you bring forth the message. He says, I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Verse 3. And in verse 4, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Timothy, love from a pure heart. Teach from a good conscience. Live a sincere faith. God will bless you. And folks, I would far rather have the blessing of God than the praise of people. Popularity doesn't mean a thing. It's gonna die when I do. So it's not about popularity. It's about the truth. Because you know what? The truth will live on even if I don't. It's that simple. So I'd rather have God and His blessing than anything else in this world. Let's stand. I am going to ask you at this time to please take your hymnals and open up. And I'm tossed between two here. I don't know which direction I'd rather go. We're going to go with number 517. I'd rather have Jesus. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what, I'm so concerned. And I have been concerned more about fame or popularity or money or whatever. And I need to lay that stuff aside and have Jesus and Him alone and Him in all things. And if God is speaking to you about maybe you got some priorities a little out of whack, now would be the time to get that straightened out. So I'm going to invite you to come. You know, we do this publicly because Jesus publicly died for us on a cross. He wasn't ashamed to die for us. Don't you be ashamed to give your life and your heart to Him. So I'm going to ask you to step out and come, kneel here at this altar. God is speaking to your heart. We just invite you to come. Don't come if He's not speaking to you. But if He is, you step out and come. I'd rather have Jesus. I just sense He's really speaking, and you're just kind of tossed. You're kind of tossed down in your heart. And I want to be able to pray for you, that God would just show you clearly who He is and what He wants to do in your life. Perhaps you've not been walking with Him the way that you know you should. Perhaps you don't know Him at all and never have, but you just sense that God is speaking to you and you're wrestling a little bit in your soul. I just want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you, if there's anyone like that today, please raise your hand and put it back down. I just want to pray for you right now. Thank you. I see that hand. There. There. Are there any others? I just want to lift you up in prayer. Our gracious Lord Jesus, You have seen the hands that have come up. Lord, even more importantly, You have read the heart. You know where they're caught between these two opinions, the world's opinion and Yours. And Lord, they're down inside, they're just kind of wrestling. And they don't know right now what they need to do. And so, Lord, I'm just going to ask that Your Holy Spirit would just reveal to them the truth of who You are and what You want to do in them and through them and for them. And so, Father, we just lift them up and we ask that You would just flow in a unique way so that they could have a confidence in their heart to make an informed decision regarding their relationship to You. And so, Lord, do Your work. And we'll give You thanks. And we'll give You praise. Don't stop speaking to them. But instead, just gently woo them, as You do in so many cases. Continue to speak to them, even as they leave this place today. Father, You're not confined to a few moments at the close of a service. And so we ask You to go with them, to encourage them, to speak to them with Your authority, with Your power, with Your grace. with your mercy. And Father, we'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise. For it's in your incredible name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that last verse just in case there's someone who's saying, man, if I just had one more opportunity, I would have stepped out today. So we're going to sing that third verse. And if God is speaking and you desire to step out, I would love to pray with you. Amen. I'm going to ask Sylvia to come, and she's going to lead us in a benediction song. I want to thank you for being here today. And I trust that each of you will be careful to lift up those who have lifted up a hand so that God might be able to do in each of their lives what He wants to do so that they can know Him in a greater way. God bless you. Thank you again for being here. Sylvia, what song was it? I don't remember. Number 579 in your hymnal.